Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of this show. You're about to listen to actor Rahul Kohli. My favorite part of his interview was talking about his role as Sheriff Hassan on the Netflix miniseries Midnight Mass. If y'all haven't checked that out, go check that series out. It's kick-ass. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight on the podcast. Please welcome for the first time, actor from one of my favorite series, Rahul Kohli.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I'm nervous.
I wanted
here.
To break into Bohemian Rhapsody at first.
No, just killed
a man.
I can't believe you're here.
Likewise.
I mentioned my brother because we're both fans. We're huge fans of Netflix's Midnight Mass, yeah, where you play Sheriff Hassan. Mm-hmm. We would text each other about it. We both watched it to the very end. I mean, it's an honor to have you on.
Oh,
here, man.
Thank
I can't
you.
Believe you're here.
I'm a big fan of you guys. Like,
really?
Yeah, like I've been texting my friends because my group back in London and a couple of my friends in LA and my girlfriend, we're big fans of like Bad Friends and Bobby Lee and yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, so I found you through like, everyone was sharing clips of you two together, like when you'd read your dreams. Oh. Right? Yeah, and we ended up watching the shows and stuff. So when I said, like, I was like, oh shit, me and Steve are DMing. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go do it. They got very excited. So they.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
your
yeah.
Your mates from.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where are you living right now?
Los Angeles. I'm here.
Oh, yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. I've been here for like 8 years now.
You didn't have this accent
In the show. I did not, no, sadly.
How did you switch?
It was a pain in the ass. It wasn't very good. I didn't.
No,
I wasn't.
Because I thought I had no idea you're from Europe.
Yeah. I mean, it slips out. It slipped out a few times. But yeah, it was the first time doing an accent. And because we shot during the pandemic, I didn't have a dialect coach on set.
You taught yourself?
I would zoom in with someone a few days before and we'd go over the work, but there wasn't someone on set that would come up to me and say it's car.
So
it was tough.
For those of you who haven't watched it, I highly recommend this series. Mm-hmm. Man, it's without ruining it or spoiling it, it is a different take on vampire, like the vampire story.
Yeah, well, that's the twist.
Yeah, there's a twist.
Yeah, that they're vampires. You just did the twist.
I'm sorry. We'll timestamp that?
No, leave it.
I think we'll leave it in
there. If you ain't seen it by now, fuck it.
Yeah, it's a
vampire show.
Okay, so since I already kind of spoiled it, I love the premise. I love the biblical themes throughout as well. Mm. As far as you weren't sure, because, you know, the father who the main.
Yeah, the priest.
Yeah, the priest. Mm. He, I like the aspect of like the anti-aging aspect of the blood. And,
yeah.
Because that's throughout all vampire tales, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that, I mean, we're just going to spoil it.
I'm sorry, because I told my intern that we wouldn't talk about the premise, but
guess we are, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But, yeah, that was the, when I read it, in fact, I didn't read it first. I met with Mike Flanagan, who wrote and created it. We were shooting The Haunting of Bly Manor, and he called me in for a meeting while we were filming and told me about the show and basically told me the entire storyline plus twists, everything. And then at the end was like, and I want you to play the sheriff.
Brilliant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Keep going.
So even from that discussion, and he told me like, this is what's going to happen and this is how it's going to be revealed. And then this is going to like, even through those beats, I was like, oh, this sounds amazing. I want to do it. Yeah. And then when I read it, what got me was like how well the Bible verses fit the mythology.
Yeah, I wrote one down. Even the one that says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. John 6:51.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, and so it fits so well, right? And that just blew my mind.
Yeah, in the sense where literally, I love the aspect of it was during the communion or like the services, the church services, when, you know, they thought that was wine they were drinking,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It was really blood.
It was really blood, yeah. There's also a little thing, which I don't know
I'm
if people
so
picked up on. It's good, you should still watch
you
it.
You should still watch it, you still, yeah.
Yeah, there was a bit that he, I think it's still in the show, but the priest doesn't enter a building. He won't enter until he's invited, because that's law as well. They only, you have to invite them in.
Yeah, because even in Lost Boys, remember that scene where the head vampire there goes for a dinner?
Yeah.
And then the oldest son greets him at the door, and then the head vampire says, well, I'm not going to enter until you invite me.
Right.
Remember that movie?
Yeah,
the
Lost Boys. Lost Boys,
yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah.
But that's a vampire rule.
Yeah, and I think that's even woven in on this.
Yes.
So it was, yeah. But we're now, we're working on the next one.
What?
Yeah. We're not the next Midnight Mass. The next Mike Flanagan show. Because he's done House, and he did Blind Manor and Midnight Mass.
Is it going to be like horror?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I mean it's Mike, so it's Edgar Allan Poe. He's adapted Edgar Allan Poe, so we're shooting right now The Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh, that's amazing!
And it's a lot of returning Midnight Mass cast and Hill House.
It was greatly casted. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's got a good group.
I love the aspect of even like, because there is, you know, the anti-aging aspect of vampirism or whatever, the vampire aspects of becoming a vampire, but it literally. It turned him young.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that because I didn't know who that man was until later on.
Yeah, yeah, when it's
you know
revealed.
What I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm like, who is this guy? Like, what happened to the
But what was
what
funny about
priest?
That, what was funny about that was, like, everyone was in aged makeup, right? And only a couple of us were as ourselves. So we always looked good. So I started the show off, you know, looking decent. I didn't, you know. And then once they started stripping all the cast back and everyone got L.A. pretty,
right.
I felt more ugly as the show went on because this the mayor's look how hot the mayor is when he starts.
Great. You look great in real life. You look great on the show.
Thank you.
Now who played your son? You had a son, yeah.
I did. Yeah. His name is Rahul as well. Same name as me. Yeah.
Wow.
He that was one of his first roles, I think.
Yeah.
But I didn't talk to him very much.
You didn't?
I didn't talk to anyone.
Oh, I thought that was a part of because that's a big kind of show.
It was basically
a movie to me. It's like a movie.
Oh yeah, we shot it all in one hit. It was one director, and we did it all in one go. But I was very scared about the show, and I struggled with my performance and like, you know, inner voice demons and like insecurity. And it was the hardest job I've had.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I'm in a program, you know, I have this thing and I have to go to these meetings because, you know, it's like I kind of go through that too where it's turmoil. It's like my inner demons too, just nonsense. It's like a hamster wheel.
All the time.
And I can only imagine because that's such a big production of really, are you talking about critiquing like... What you do and
and imposter syndrome and
explain that again. Is that a real thing?
The imposter syndrome. Yeah, it's just when it's fairly common. It's just when people feel like they don't deserve to be there and that they're imposters and they're going to be found out.
Oh.
So like everyone else is delivering these wonderful performances and here's now where everyone's going to figure out that you don't belong and that you've been miscast.
You've been found out.
And people have that across all sorts of jobs. But imposter syndrome is something that I definitely have as an actor. And so, I mean, there was a day where, like, I really didn't think I did a good job. And I sat in my trailer for, like, 2 hours afterwards crying.
Wow. Yeah. So it's that heavy as far as psychologically?
It was a lot of things. I was going through a lot personally at the time.
Oh, wow.
Glad
you brought that up. I mean...
Yeah, it was a tough...
It's hard to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I try and be honest about stuff like...
Yeah.
I think it's nice to hear, like, I don't know, talk about real people like to hear that you also like have problems.
That's why it's like my sleeping. I'm not blaming it all on that, but that's why I sleep at a certain time.
What time do you sleep?
7, 8 in the morning.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I used to do that. Oh. I've only just stopped.
See, I'm glad you admitted that because when I'm afraid to talk about this stuff because you know why? When out there in the world. I get shamed.
Of course.
Like my especially coworkers. Being adults,
we're
adults yeah.
We're very similar. I'm a gamer.
And well, you game?
Yeah, hard.
You have a console?
Yeah, all of them.
Really?
And PC. Yeah.
Really? I'm glad you brought that.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So you play RPGs?
I'm playing Elden Ring right now. Yeah, I based
this fool plays Elden Ring.
I based the sheriff on Joel from The Last of Us.
Wow,
that's why his costume and his haircut.
Wow, yeah, that's incredible.
That was our And can I voice video games. I voiced them as well.
You do.
Yeah.
Can I throw a curveball at you? Because I used to play a game called Skyrim.
Yeah, Skyrim, Elden Ring, Elder Scrolls.
But
yeah.
there's a story where if you could get bit by a vampire.
Yeah, I did that one.
Where you have to play it out as a vampire.
Yeah, and then I hated it, and I had to reload the save
because you can't walk around during the daytime.
Yeah.
And then your skin starts turning pale.
Yeah.
And then you have to gather like these ingredients to
cure yourself.
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, I did that quest.
Oh my god!
And I did. Wasn't there a werewolf one I did as well?
Yeah,
you can become a werewolf.
Oh yeah. That's at White. Is that White Run?
It sounds like White Run.
Yeah. What's the name of the group? It's one of the groups.
But I always would join every playthrough. I always end up joining the Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm. The werewolf one. It was a guild. Mm. It was in the town. It was a guild.
Was it the Thieves Guild?
No, it wasn't the Thieves. I think it was a faction of the Thieves Guild.
And they offer it to you, and you can vampire is the Brotherhood, right? If you do the Brotherhood at the end, your boss is a vampire, and he will turn you if you do the Brotherhood.
I did both. I did all of them.
Yeah.
But this one is God. Can you? Oh, the Companions.
Yeah.
That's the name companions. Of the guild. The Companions.
Okay.
So the Companions was I think Whiterun, and it's in that town.
Yeah.
And you don't, at the very end, you do these missions. I think by the fifth, like at the very end, then they reveal it. Hey,
you're welcome,
but this
in.
Is another, there's an aspect.
I thought the werewolf thing was cool. I regretted changing to a vampire.
Yeah.
I didn't
but
like
you,
it.
Did you run around as a werewolf?
Yeah. You can change into it or something.
Yeah.
You change into like a beast.
Wow, I can't believe you know all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Games was my first passion. Like, I play everything. Yeah. Everything.
What about Fallout?
Yeah, I played Fallout. Yeah, three and four. I never played Vegas.
But you played three.
Yeah, I played three. Played four. Liam Neeson's that one, right? He's your dad.
Yeah.
But right now I'm playing. I play a bunch of games on the go. So mm-hmm. I still got my Elden Ring going on. Mm-hmm. I'm playing.
Do you do BioShock at all?
Yeah, did all the BioShocks. Dude. Yeah, I want Mike Flanagan to direct. A BioShock series, but someone else is doing it.
Oh, that would be
because Netflix announced
that'd
it.
Be incredible.
Yeah, Netflix announced the BioShock series. Really? Yeah.
Oh, dude, that gave me goosebumps.
It'll be. I think that's going to translate well.
Can you get a part in that? Can you get involved with that somehow?
I don't have that kind of pull.
I think you could.
I don't know if I'm in that world. I'd like to be a big daddy if they let me wear the.
Oh yeah, those. Yeah, yeah.
I'll do that
dude,
for free.
That game was sick, mm-hmm. dude. You know what I like? It's so I feel like when I play games like that, it's like I'm playing a whole different life. Like I like tune out. I heard a story. Who's that guy that played the main role in the movie, the M. Night Shyamalan movie, Split, the main character?
Oh, James McAvoy.
Okay, I read an article where he got so engulfed in Skyrim, he couldn't even show up to a set. Like he was literally... No, this is real shit. You can look it up. This guy was a main principal role on a movie. He literally didn't show up to his call times.
Yeah.
He was in his hotel, like playing, like 18 hours. Like he was in.
Oh shit! See, I'm a massive. I play a lot, but I've never got to the point where like I don't. The worst I ever got was when I was 14 or 15. I didn't revise for my exams, and it was the first time I remember as a kid staying up. For 24 hours plus playing, and
what were you playing?
Final Fantasy X.
There you go, dude.
I remember that got me for a long time, but there are some games that, like, I'll binge pretty hard. I know I did God of War in like 72 hours, like in 3 days.
Oh, so are you one of those gamers? You want to get it done?
Only because of the backlog. Because if I can't take too long and then some show shows up or I get involved in something and then it starts and I need the rhythm.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Right now I've played. My mission, and I fell behind, but my mission was to finish every single FromSoft game. So I did Demon's Souls, Dark Souls 3. I was trying to do all of them, Bloodborne, Sekiro, before I got to Elden Ring.
Yeah.
But I ran out of time.
I heard that game you could get really engulfed.
Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there's stuff like there's rings and different types it's, of enchantments.
People say it's a lot like Breath of the Wild, right. the Zelda game. Like it's so open and yeah, it just yeah, allows yeah. you to just. And people say
like
hundreds
that.
Of hours. Yeah, it doesn't
yeah,
hold
I like
your hand.
That. That's why I like the Bethesda.
Like Skyrim and
yeah,
stuff.
Skyrim. Yeah, Skyrim. Did you know how I'm going to throw the Bethesda out there again? There's a one that's dropping, I think, next year. It's. Outer space.
Yes. Space. Oh God. Yeah. It's an. It's going to be an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah,
Starfield.
Yeah. yeah. Where I mean, that's when people probably won't even hear from me.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my phone.
Sci-fi is one of my favorite genres, so go I'm going to.
So you
I'm
grew
gonna,
up with what Star Trek and all that stuff.
I became an actor because of Star Wars.
Okay, well, let's hold that. Let's hold off on that. Because, dude, come on, man. I got the Ewok on my arm.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to do. Now it's a time. A word from our sponsor. Okay, if you want to quit doing this, Grizzly Chew, because this will make your teeth brown and your gums gray, consider doing Lucy as an alternative, okay? I have one in right now, okay? This is my favorite flavor, Cool Cider. They also have nicotine. Can I give you one of these, man? Yeah, you take that. If you enjoy nicotine, you should definitely check out Lucy, okay? Like, they have this flavor, too. They have pomegranate. They have this. This is wintergreen, okay? If you enjoy using nicotine, you should definitely check out Lucy products at lucy.co. That's lucy.co, and use promo code Stevie at checkout. I also have to read this disclaimer. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, you know, and we're both kind of hooked on that. Mm-hmm. We love it. Remember, if you're interested in a better way to use nicotine, visit lucy.co and make sure to use promo code Stevie, STEEBEE. Now back to what's your favorite Star Wars?
Empire Strikes Back. I got a story for you. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. So... I was 11 years old or something like that, and my dad bought me, because I asked for it, he'd never even watched Star Wars, but my dad bought me the special editions, the first three,
right.
and the gold VHS box set, right?
Right.
I watched it in 2 days, and within those, like, 24 hours, 48 hours, my life changed, right? I was like, oh, I want to do something in this world. I want to be a part of this world. So originally I wanted to go into special effects. I wanted to work for ILM and that stuff.
Oh, it influenced you that much? Inspired you that much?
That was it, right? And it like infected all my work. My homework was Star Wars orientated.
Well, what is it that kind of like attracted you to? What's the appeal? The Force?
No, it was...
The lightsabers?
It was more like just not living my life. It was the fantasy element of it, like different worlds, being
right.
who you want, like space. I wanted to be Han. I wanted to just be in a ship and fly and have adventures.
Or like the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, and I just wanted, I didn't enjoy my teenage years, and mm-hmm. and I kind of lost myself in that world.
Right.
And I wanted to like be physically in that world, and I was like, well, what's the closest way to be in Star Wars is make Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
So... I went into special effects, and that's what I was trying to study. And then,
really?
Yeah, one of the courses I was doing had me make a short film where I acted in it, and I was like, oh, this is better. I'm better at this. So
right.
I dropped out, and I went
and
to drama school.
Oh, yeah. What? Is this in England?
This is in England, yeah. So that's how Star Wars influenced
right,
me.
Right,
and
right.
now I'm working with Mark Hamill. We worked together on this
you
new show.
Luke Skywalker?
Yeah, yeah. And we had a chat about it. So he knew, he followed me on Twitter and stuff, and everyone was like, wait till you meet Rahul. He's a big fan. So when I came on
set.
So
what was it like meeting Mark Hamill? Write that down, Mark Hamill.
I was shaken.
That's like meeting
your
childhood
hero. Mike was taking photos of us as I was like meeting him and shaking his hand.
Was he cool?
He's the best.
Really?
Yeah.
So what was it like? What's he like?
Very funny.
He
fully will tell you stories like
about Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he did an impression of Harrison when he was telling the story.
Wow.
Yeah, he's super like giving, and he said to me, like, we were chatting during a take, and he said to me like, what's your journey like? How did you become an actor? I told him, I was like, I watched Star Wars. This sounds bullshit, but I watched Star Wars, and I wanted to be an actor.
You told him the story, the real. Mm-hmm.
And he said, he said to me, something like, I'm glad we made something that inspired you because you're great at what you do. Or something along those lines,
I mean,
dude. And I, like, got emotional.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, you talked about the psychological things you go through.
Yeah.
But that's basically going, that's giving you evidence of, like, you're on the right path.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because Luke Skywalker is telling you you're doing a good job.
Yeah, and he's, and then there was another day, I, really long night shoot, it was just me, no one else was there, and I got a text from one of the production, from Mike's assistant, and she asked me if I was okay with Mark visiting me during filming. And I was like, yeah, okay.
You want to visit you?
Yeah. So he came, but I found out he did this with a few people, but Mark came to set. We were shooting on location downtown Vancouver, and Mark showed up with his dogs and his daughter and sat with me for 3-4 hours until like midnight. And we were just sitting. He didn't have work. He just wanted to chill and talk to me and get to know and talk about my family.
I mean, if anything, that's just...
He's a real hero, man.
I mean, dude, I mean, I'm getting a little choked up because...
he's amazing.
I mean, do you think Mark will watch this? Well, maybe, maybe not, but can I...
Mark, I don't know if he likes me enough.
Okay, no.
I can ask him to.
I'll ask him to.
Can I, you got the Ewok.
Yeah, I got... Mark, come on, dude. I'm a fan. Luke, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You know... You're awesome. We loved you in all those movies. Empire Strikes Back. There's just something about that one. You know why I like that one? Mm. Because that's the first duel and conflict with him and his father.
Mm-hmm.
And that at that lightsaber duel there at, in Cloud City.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the carbonite just the chamber. Best.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah, it's I love the it's the split off I like. It's the kind of chase between the Empire and the Millennium Falcon that's happening at the same time that Luke's off, and I like the different stakes, and then
and then the Dagobah system. That's where Luke meets Yoda.
Yeah,
goes to the Dagobah system, and it's like Jedi training.
Yeah, while Han is in a broken ship trying to get away. Opens with the Hoth battle. Like it opens with a.
That's
punch.
Another. I like that. I like that. I like that setting too. Yeah. That Hoth, and then with the Imperial
but
walkers.
But if Empire is your favorite, why you got Ewok tattoo?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? Because I like both, but I didn't want to get like a Tauntaun. You know?
Or a Wampa.
Okay. So Ewok, it's like, and you know, to be honest with you, all my tattoos, it's like, I talked about this with my buddy, like all of them are so random.
That's Game of Thrones, right? You got the Stark?
Yeah, exactly. Let me get to it too, because it's like, it's like, I'm a kind of guy, I'll just go there and I won't give it much thought. And I'll be like, all right, I'll get that.
Yeah.
I'm like the guy that will just go there and get the
I love
tattoo.
That.
And you know, I don't give it much thought.
Yeah,
so that's why you asked me. And I'm like, I think I was at True Tattoo on Cahuenga, and I was in there. And I go, they're like, what do you want? And I'm like, I'll get an I don't know why. I'm like, I'll just get an Ewok. So I mean, to be quite honest, I didn't give it much thought.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't. You know, I wasn't.
But I fucking loved that because people always do that thing. Like I've got tattoos, and they're like,
yeah,
but it's on your body for the. Who cares?
Well, I
it's not that fucking. It's not that big a deal.
We're all gonna die.
Who cares?
So you know, yeah. I mean, I got a UFO.
Yeah.
This is the most meaningful one because it's my brother.
You got Bobby tattoo, yeah.
I got Bobby, and I drew this. So this means the most because it's like I drew this. It's
but Bobby hasn't got one of you yet. Right?
He's got Steve written right here, in red cursive. Yeah. But I trumped him on, this is a whole piece.
You know, one of the things I love about you two is you both laugh the most around each other. The laugh that you get out of him and he gets out of you is like
he's the
very...
only one that gets, I mean, we've done shit where we've even, I mean, even in K-Town, we were by this El Pollo Loco. It was a El Pollo Loco and it had a Frosty Freeze soft serve. He likes doing these little games, like with customer service people, where we ordered these soft serve cones. We could tell the employee like didn't like doing it.
Yeah.
So, because you know it dripped like on the hand, so he kept getting in line, ordering the same cone over and over. And the whole time we were just laughing because we knew. He like does stuff like that,
yeah.
And then like we're both crying, but it's not. We're not doing like it's not malicious.
No.
It's out of because it makes us laugh because we've been there. I've worked in restaurants.
Sure,
I know how it is.
Yeah.
But he does shit like that where we did another thing in a Korean mall where there is these fish cookies, you know, like waffle cookies.
Right.
It's the same thing. We could tell that the person didn't want to make them, so he ordered a bunch. And then you could tell the person was just heated, like, oh, my God. And then he went back in line and kept, he ordered it over and over.
Fucking love that.
And so we went in the mall, we were crying, laughing. But you're right, we do stupid stuff like that. But he, yeah, he's the funniest to me when the cameras are not, like when is
sure.
Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But like we all have, like, we all go through that as far as like, I, like going back to like, you know, the stuff like, you know.
The demons?
Yeah. It's like, especially him, because it's like, because his job is to make people laugh, right? And then, you know, he does, you know, work on camera or, like, he'll do, like, you know, acting roles. And I'm sure that, like, I know he's gone through, like, crazy, like, auditions where he, like, one, he was hitting himself. He did so bad, he said he was hitting himself with a water bottle, like.
Yeah.
In the car, he was like, boom, boom. And I'm like,
I can be like that, yeah.
So
I've heard him talk about stuff like that, and I relate. Yeah, like on the podcast, I know he's talked about, like, you know, like how he feels about, you know, everyone will tell him he's incredible and he should do this and have a special, do these things, and he won't because he doesn't think he's that good. Like, and it's endearing, but it's entirely his own head. But I relate to it. I totally do. Like,
you do in the sense that,
yeah, no matter who tells me I'm great or the show's great or the character's great,
even Luke Skywalker loves you.
It won't change.
So are you? Would you, like, I'm gonna use this as an analogy. Mm. Let's say there's a white canvas and it's just supposed to be white. Will you notice that one black dot and be like, oh, it's all white? But no, but look at that. There's something
in my work. I will.
You'll find the slightest, yeah. Even like if you say a certain word a certain way, you'll, yeah, like play it over in your head, yeah, like, oh, I should have said it like this.
Absolutely.
You go through that.
It's this idea of, I don't know. It's the same with, like, people will say to you, you know, like with social media, right? The 500 tweets of praise versus the one negative one. The one negative one sticks,
I'm glad you're,
right?
Bringing this up because I don't do well with the comments, or like,
I don't think any of us do,
because it, you know what, and it pisses me off because I don't even know this person or, yeah, something. That's why even when this drops, I mean, I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of positive comments, but I just choose,
oh, there'll be things that we won't like,
yeah. And then I just I just can't, because I do it to myself, mm-hmm, and then if I see that, it adds on to that, like, it basically, if I like believe that, then I'm like, then my brain will be like, see, you're a piece of crap,
yeah,
dude, look.
But you know what?
It's pointing it out.
It's perspective as well. Like, I struggle with it, and I'm very confrontational. I like a fight in real life.
Wait, like, for real?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down. Like, I'm happy to, like,
dude, let's...
No.
The way you said it, I can tell because I saw it in your eyes.
But in the sense of, like, if we're in a grocery store and you said something, I'm happy to be like, all right, like, we're going to, let's do it. Like, let's talk. Wherever it leads to, I don't mind. Like, it can stay verbal.
Have you always been like that, even as a kid?
Yeah, I think so.
So you won't back down. Like, you'll confront it. You'll be like,
yeah, even if I bite off more than I can chew. I was talking to my therapist about this today.
So you do therapy?
Yeah, I just started again.
I was thinking about going back in. So shout out to my therapist, Dr. Troy. Like, I need that again.
Yeah,
I need.
Well, you know what the problem is though? It works, and I drop it when I feel good. And then that makes no sense, right? You just drop it when you feel good.
What do you mean by that? Drop it when it...
Like, I stop going when,
right,
I'm like,
yeah,
shit's great. And then I'm like, but I forget why shit's great. It's because we've been doing work.
Right.
And then I feel good. And the thing is, it's like, it's the... Someone said to me, it should be the gym. It's where the gym. You still work out even when you
don't want to go.
Exactly.
You go.
Because you otherwise you lose the game.
To maintain it. Oh.
And when someone said that to me, I was like, oh, that's fair. Because I do, like, after a month or two, and we've talked, you know, and I've sorted out some stuff, I'm like, yeah, I don't need to call you. I'm good. I want to drive to wherever you are.
Yeah.
And then things go sideways again in a few months.
Yeah, I hear that. That's what happened to me. Because I was starting to get to the underlying problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I did work even. He made me sketch things, like, do, like, like, write stuff out. Like, I did work with him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He made me do draw a picture of my body, you know, like...
How you see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, how I see myself, and, like, and then all these things that I think of about myself, yeah, and we're trying to get to the underlying,
oh, that's
thing
interesting,
of the way I view myself and, yeah, the reality, the evidence. He always said, you have to look at the evidence.
Right.
And so, like, I'll use you for example. You say all these things, but well, that the real thing about you is you booked a huge series.
Right.
Mark Hamill said, you know, he's glad you got to where you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then that's what my therapist would say. You have to look at that evidence,
sure,
to combat like that with the way you view yourself.
But I have a counterpoint to that, and it's not a good one.
Well, I want to hear the what I just said.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What if we achieve what we achieve and we're successful because we think that way?
Oh, no.
That's the problem, right? What if me being hard on myself and not listening and pushing myself and saying it's not good enough, it's not as horrible as it is to me, what if that's the reason I keep booking? Because I'm not happy with what I've just done and I don't believe my own hype and I keep pushing myself. And that's what that's the other demon side is like, maybe this is what we're supposed to do. Maybe that's what drives us.
Yeah, that's...
That's probably unhealthy, yeah, but...
It's, no, but you know, this makes me think of... I'm sure artists go through this. You know, what makes artists great is because they're so harsh on themselves.
That they push themselves.
That they go to the extreme of like, just pushing their art.
Yeah.
Same thing with like songwriters. I'm sure a person will sit there, even like Neil Young or something. Yeah. They wrote a perfect song, but they're looking at it like, oh, I should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I watched a documentary on literally like a few days ago. Ennio Morricone, the composer for, you know, all the Sergio Leone stuff. And throughout this documentary, he's always like, it's shit. I hate it. Get this fucking song out of my face. Like he was 93,
and then he's on top.
One
of the top,
and he
composers.
Doesn't think any of it's good. He even says in the documentary, "I didn't like the Fistful of Dollars soundtrack. I don't like For a Few Dollars More. Sergio Leone ruined it." He thinks all like, and I was watching. I was like, I don't know. Like if he does it, then you know maybe that's just part of being an artist. Because I paint miniatures. And I was going to say to you, dude. Like
you do art, so.
Yeah, like I build model kits and paint miniatures, like Warhammer and stuff.
Wow.
And that's been my meditation.
So when did you start doing that? That's interesting, man.
I started when I was struggling when I was auditioning, because I was like, I needed to be available for the auditions, but there was a lot of downtime, right?
Yeah.
And so it was like, I needed something to occupy my brain. So I started building Japanese model kits, these Bandai and Fine Molds,
yeah.
And they were mainly Star Wars kits, and I learned to airbrush, and it was to keep me busy, but it kept me from, like, I don't know, going crazy.
Yeah.
And now I do it, like you were saying, James McAvoy.
Doing the Skyrim. Yeah.
I take a paint chest to set, and I paint.
Oh, put it in your trailer?
Yeah, or I keep it
downtime.
In my hotel. Yeah.
Right,
and
right,
I paint,
right.
And it keeps me mad focused, it keeps me chill.
Yeah.
But once I finished one, I don't want to fucking see it ever again. I give them away, or I don't.
You know what?
Because it's imperfect, and I don't like it. I'm better, so I don't want to see that figure anymore.
No, I can relate to that. Even because I do music on the side too. Yeah. You know, I produce my own beats and I write my shit. But then I'm the same way. I'll like spend weeks just doing the beat.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I don't know, you know. But once the song's done, I'm like, it's whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Even though I spent so much effort and love and energy and all this just on that one song, and I'm really nitpicky as far as the samples that I choose, the drum patterns.
But do you think it's this then? Do you think it's because, like, I feel like by the time I finish that project, I'm better at doing it than I was when I started it. Therefore, this isn't my best work. My best work will be the next thing.
Yeah, that's a part of it.
That's how I do it.
That's a part of it too. But another aspect is, okay, from an artist, from a giving, like, energy standpoint, right? Because most of the stuff, I regret even putting out.
Oh, wow.
It's more like, because I have stuff that I haven't put out. I have, you know, I have them on CDs and...
Do you not upload them?
No, I do. The ones that I'm like,
yeah.
That's my point. But the thing is, if we kind of go by the idea of it's not good enough, it's selfish in a way because art is meant
to be shared.
Exactly. Because once I put it out, any artist puts it out there, it's not determined whether it's good. It's like it's out
it's
there.
Theirs now.
It's theirs now.
Yeah.
So that's another aspect of it where I'm like, God, because it always could be better.
Yeah. But it's not yours.
It's not mine. And you have to just put it out there. Same thing with you. I'm sure your performances.
I have less control. And that's good for me.
Oh, because you have editors and directors.
And it's not mine.
ADs and all that.
That's the thing. Like, I've had to get over it because once we've wrapped or we yell cut, I have no control. I can't ask them not to show it. It's in the show. It's going. And it's coming out in a year. And
yeah, but do you... I always wondered this. When you're on set, like, how many people... Like, let's say, you know, like your sheriff's office on the island, right? Your office, that room. How many other people are we not seeing? Because when I'm watching this...
40? 40 people. Just there, maybe? But there's crews
in,
like,
the sheriff's room on that island.
Yeah, yeah.
So how... I always wondered this, like, how do you like mentally block them out, remember your lines, and be, you know what I'm saying?
I don't block them out.
So you're aware that there's guys there with like a, you know.
Like, we're aware right now of the camera in Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're
still doing what we're doing.
Yeah, but I acknowledge that she's there at times. I go, hey.
Yeah, and we acknowledge the crew between the takes.
Oh, but you just
you're
don't
talking,
do it. Right.
Yeah, and then everyone settles down and we all get quiet. And then we do it. But I've always been very... It depends on the role, but like... Like when I used to do theatre, some people wouldn't even know what they just did or who was in the audience. Mm-hmm, and I could be like, oh, your mate was two rows from the left. And I've always been hyper aware.
Right.
And still able to do what I can do. I rarely black out. I rarely, like, I don't know. It's all depends. Like, a bomb could go off and I could probably still
do it.
I don't.
That's impressive, dude.
There are some actors who, like, if they hear whispering, they're like, hey.
Yeah.
And it snaps them out. I'm like, dude. Like,
you don't want to be that guy, though, right? No, my next question is, let's say you fumble on some words. How many takes do you get, like, on something like Midnight Mass? Like, will the director, if, like, let's say you're really, you're like, oh, I could have, hey, can I do that? Will they allow you to do
that? Yeah.
How many times do you
within reason, like, the thing is, I don't, even when I have, okay, so here's my theory. There are 7 billion people on the planet, right?
Yeah.
And I'm one of the few, maybe the only one, who knows that I'm lying when I'm acting. Everyone else believes the character, right?
Oh, I believe it wholeheartedly.
But, right, so you're the magician that knows the trick.
Oh, that's a good analogy. Yeah.
And no one else does, but you out of 7 billion people, you know it's a trick. You know you weren't in this moment. You know how the sausage is made. So I'm not the audience. So when I do a take and I don't think it's good, how can I ever be objective? It's not for me. I know that it's... I can't tell. I have to trust my director.
Right.
They can tell. They were watching here.
Because they wrote the dialogue.
Yeah, and they can see it. And they go, it's a great take. But in my head, I'm like, was it? I don't know. I didn't feel... But what you feel and what you see are two completely different things.
You have to compartmentalize those two.
So as I've gotten older and I've become better at my job, one of the things that's freed me is trust. So with Mike, for instance, even if I think I shit the bed and I didn't like the scene.
And this really happened during your taping of this series?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like every other day, you're like,
Yeah. But
you were really like that in your trailer.
100%. The only time I thought I crushed it was when I picked up a few stuntmen and threw them around in the church. That was the only time I was like, thank you. That was the only time I was like, yeah, I fucking killed that.
Yeah.
Everything else, nope. And like, but I'd look at Mike and Mike would come out after I do the scene and he'd be like, that's great. I'm really happy with it. Do you want another one? How do you feel?
He gave you that option.
He always gives you the option.
Not all of them Mike give you that
option. No, not all of them do, but Mike does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So shout out to Mike for doing that.
Absolutely, yeah. He's wonderful with that. That's why the same actors follow him.
Right.
Because he's wonderful to work with. But my mantra is, I'm happy if you're happy. Because I'm trusting you. Because I don't know.
Right. I'm sure it's the same way with like a recording artist and the producer.
Yeah.
If the producer's happy, like, dude, you got
it. You got to trust them.
No more takes.
Yeah, because I think sometimes those extra takes is our insecurity. And I don't know what we're waiting for. I've seen so many actors go, like, it's a long take. We've done it. They've hit every beat. And they go, can I just get one more, please? Can I get one more? And they're like, sure.
No, but they're on time. They're on a schedule, too, as well.
But
right?
There's always a little bit of, like, you can do one more.
Right,
you can do one more.
Right.
And then when they do, nothing changes. And it's identical to the take they just did. And they go, I'm good. And you're like,
oh, they did it for personal reasons.
For you.
Right,
yeah, you did it. You did it for you. And that's fine. But like, I try to let go of that.
good, good, good.
If I know if I didn't get it, I know if we haven't got the scene because the director won't move on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They won't.
So, yeah, because it's their shit.
Yeah.
Why would they? It's their product.
Why would they want it to be shit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like their shit. Like, if they really didn't think it was good, they'd be like, can you do it again?
Yeah.
Like, do it this way.
And we've watched, and every actor's watched it. We've watched it when, and had it happen to us where we haven't got it, or someone, one of our castmates hasn't. And we've seen how that goes. And it's a lot of talking and coming over and working on it and working this. And you're like, oh, they're not getting it.
Oh.
So you've seen what it's like when someone doesn't get it. So when a director comes out and they're like, fuck yeah, that was awesome. Do you want to go again? Nope.
If that's what he said, then no, I'm good. If you're good, I'm good.
Exactly.
You're good with it?
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. And that's why I had to do a mass. I had to keep trusting Mike because I didn't feel that way. And he constantly was like, we got it.
Who is the homeboy that played the head vampire with the wings? Who is that dude?
Oh, his name was Quentin. He was like 6'9".
God, very
weighed like 110 pounds or something.
Scary.
Yeah. He's awesome. They're a really sweet dude.
You know, he kind of reminded, the look of him. Yeah. Have you remember Salem's Lot?
No.
Like the head vampire. It's an old 70s.
Yeah.
It had like that, just that historical.
He looked like Nosferatu.
Yeah, you know? Like that. That's what it is. Like that Nosferatu, that classic vampire looking dude.
Absolutely. But he was the real deal. And you know what's funny about him? So there was no clothes to put on him because he was already quite hot because it's a thick prosthetic.
Yeah.
But the only thing he did wear when we weren't filming was Ugg boots. So he'd sit in the green room in the full thing and just Ugg boots. And that was it. Because there was no big coat. There was no anything to put on him.
He was basically kind of bare.
Yeah.
He had the wings.
Yeah. So all I ever remember of him was just him like that, but Ugg boots.
Dude, I wonder what... That's crazy. That's a crazy visual. Yeah. I wonder how many dudes he had to beat out. Like, how many other dudes went out for the head vampire role? Like,
I don't know.
Like, with you too. How many people did you beat up for the Sheriff Hassan?
No one. It was an offer.
See, that's another indicator, dude. you were the only dude for the.
It was.
Role.
It was, I think it was offered to me before it was sent out.
So didn't that make? Isn't that a good thing? Because it could have been you.
Yeah, but then okay, but then all right. So check this out. But there's always a thing. Like I could go. Well, there's not many, brown men that look like me. So it's a small pool. So maybe Mike was desperate.
No,
but that's what you can always find a way.
You don't think there's some like even like Latino actors here that'd be like, I could do a Middle Eastern, I could do that Hassan, bro. Like,
sure. Yeah.
No, they would have lined up to. Yeah. That was a principal role. That's, you're one of the main dudes on this series, dude. You're gonna watch it, right? Oh, yeah. I'm sure once she watches it, she'll be like, oh, yeah.
Hopefully you forget everything that Steve said in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know, this is the thing. You'll still enjoy the series.
Well, I'll tell you what's to enjoy is Hamish Linklater, who plays the priest.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
That was one of the best performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, that dude. What was that dude's name?
Ridiculous. Hamish Linklater.
That dude. Oh. There was a couple scenes, even the multi-purpose room. Remember that meeting? But in the basketball.
The AA stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Confession.
You know, that's another aspect I like about that. Mm-hmm. Because I actually do.
The recovery.
I do 12-step shit. Yeah.
So Mike does too.
What?
Yeah, Mike is a recovering alcoholic.
Oh, that's crazy.
And he wrote, I think, the character Riley, the main guy, that's from Mike's perspective.
That's how he implemented that aspect in the scene.
Yeah, Mike's
that's
sober.
That's crazy. How many years?
I think he's hit his fourth or fifth.
Yeah,
Sigs and booze gone.
Dude, that hit home for me when I seen that implemented in the series. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Mm.
You know, that's really cool. They added that in that. You know,
yeah.
You know why I liked it too? Because it goes to show, even in a small, like isolated island town like that, that they have that. They offered that.
Absolutely.
Right? And even though it's just, and that's another thing is, the meeting was just two people.
Well, because it's such a small island.
It's such a small town, but that's the thing. But the reality is, that's all you need. That's how those dudes did it back in the day.
Right.
At one point, there's just one dude talking to another dude,
yeah.
And they're like, okay, you just don't drink, and I won't drink tonight, and they just talk.
And they had each other's back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like that about it.
Yeah.
Go watch Midnight Mass tonight. Watch it all the way through.
Well, wait, because Obi-Wan's coming out on Disney+.
Oh shit!
I'm not in it, but you should watch that first.
So go to Disney+ and watch Obi-Wan.
And then watch us when we're
Are you a fan of The Mandalorian as well?
I am, yeah.
I mean, John Favreau.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So John hired, this is a guy, put him in the next thing, John.
I met Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Who obviously co-created it. And we met at an award show, and I went over and I was like, Mr. Filoni, hi. Mm-hmm. And he said, I know who you are, and started laughing. And I don't know what that means. And I was like, holy shit, okay. And then we talked for a bit. So maybe one day I'll get a phone call.
Right. Are you good with, like, is that a part of the job description? Like, you're doing, like, these tours or promotional things? You have to show up to these events and stuff like that?
No, I mean... You need to sell your film or thing. That's part of the job. So like when your show comes out, they organize press days and press junkets, and that is required. But like going to like all the fashion show stuff and parties, I don't fucking do any of it.
You're a gamer like us. Yeah, you don't want to be out there. I just want to be at home.
100%.
Right.
Yeah. So like, I don't fuck with it. Like
I'm supposed to
be at Tribeca. My film premieres there. In June at Tribeca.
Oh, is it? You have a film coming out?
I do, yeah. Okay, well, it's premiering at Tribeca, but I don't know when.
What's the name
audiences
of the film? It's
called Next Exit.
Next Exit. When's that dropping?
We don't know. Okay, we're just debuting.
But it's going through the festival circuit like that. Oh, okay, like Cannes and all that shit. Like
we'll see. It starts with Tribeca.
That's how it works, right? Like. If you make a movie, I'm just guessing.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. I'm trying to figure it out.
I didn't even fucking know where it was. My team were like, it's New York. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I have to do? And they went, just go. They're showing it. Talk to people. I was like, who?
You don't want to do anything. You're like,
yeah.
You're like me and my brother. Like you just want to be with the console and doing your shit.
Yeah. And like I like making the stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. You show up, that's your job. But
like, and I'll sell it when you arrange like press. Like I'll go to the day and I'll happily like do the podcast and I'll do everything we got to do. But like red carpet and like dressing up, Met Gala stuff. It's not my stuff, man. It's that's fake. I don't want to do it. Yeah, I don't want to do it.
You don't like that stuff. No. You like doing the work, and that's it. Yeah. You'll do the work.
Yeah. Right?
But don't you think it's a part of, it's kind of like...
I think there's your brand, right? And that would be like, oh, being seen at the launch of Samsung's new phone, right? But that's not for your show. That's for your profile. I don't attend any of that shit.
Now, does your social media come into play with all this stuff? Like, does the director say, now, on Tuesday, I want you to do a story post on the movie, and then you have to click the swipe up
a little bit. Like, I think it's in the contract, but like Netflix,
they throw that in there.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
Like, you need to promote on your platform the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know,
most of the time, you want to, like, you want to show the trailer.
You do. Yeah, you want to do that. Yeah,
but then there are other times where it's not agreed, and they expect it, and you're like, oh, suck my dick, I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
what's your
dream? Are you writing your own shit too? Like stuff.
So strictly acting.
Strictly acting.
Yeah.
What would be, who would you want to work with, like, as far as, like, directors and stuff? Like,
oh my God.
I mean, Tarantino would be kind of cool.
Tarantino would be incredible. I mean, what, do his last film?
Yeah.
Do number 10.
Yeah.
I met him.
You did?
Once. LAX. I was shooting the pilot for iZombie, which was my big break.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing behind him at LAX, and I said, sorry, Mr. Tarantino. And he turned around, and I said, you're incredible. And he turns around. He's massive. He's like my height.
Yeah, right.
And he grabbed my hand with both hands in the security line. And he went, thank you. Thank you so much. What's your name? And I was like, I'm Raul Coley. I just got a part in a pilot for the CW. And one day I'm going to audition for you. And he went, right on, man. I'll see you in an audition one day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this out. Your favorite Tarantino movie?
Pulp Fiction. Oh.
Pulp Fiction.
Others though.
Pulp Fiction.
Django. I love Django Unchained. I'm a big Western fan. I love
Inglourious Basterds. I mean,
Hateful Eight.
Yeah, I mean.
Did you like Once Upon a Time in the West?
Yeah, I did, but it's not like, I mean, Reservoir Dogs is in there too, because
I like Jackie Brown too. I'm a big I like nearly all of them.
And then the Kill Bill. I mean, there's
I even like Death Proof.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah, he wrote that.
Yeah. He did write True Romance.
Yeah, okay. True Romance is fantastic.
Wow, that impressed me. Wow. Thanks for throwing in that. Wow, you're right. He wrote that.
He did,
yeah.
He also wrote From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, Dusk Till Dawn. Yeah,
and acted in it, obviously.
Wait, what about M. Night? No, you wouldn't?
They're all fantastic. I if I had my pick right now, I would love to work with. I'm a big Nolan fan. Scorsese. Oh, yeah. I would love to work
Paul
with
Paul Thomas Anderson, maybe?
Oh yeah.
I mean
the Coens.
Coen brothers.
I mean everyone.
Coen brothers.
Yeah. I want to work with them all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love Mike Flanagan.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
So shout out to Mike. Man. That's my boy. The homie right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it's we're getting dude, an hour kind of already flew by. I want okay, before we forget.
I'm not rushed. You do
I know
what you
I'm
want.
Not I want to cuz you're from cuz I don't meet a lot of people that watch English Premier football, you know what I mean? And so you I mean we're from opposing teams. I think you guys will win the league. You think Arsenal? You think the Gunners will make top 4? Give me your consensus.
I like you. I love you. And Arsenal have a special place in my heart. My dad and my sister are Arsenal fans.
Shout out to them.
I don't think you'll make top 4.
What?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Wait, there's only 4 or 5 games left. When do you think we're going to drop the ball? You think Tottenham's going to beat us?
Yeah, I think Tottenham will have you. But then we'll have Tottenham. I don't know.
You have Tottenham like next week or the week after, don't
Saturday.
You? This Saturday.
Yeah. So this will go out by then.
No, this is going to drop next Wednesday.
Yeah, so we'd already have played.
You already have played.
Yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully we won.
Well, you play at home.
Are we home?
You're at home. You're at home. Yep, you are.
Yeah.
You're at home for that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm a big Liverpool fan.
So you're a point away from Man City.
Yeah.
They took a tough loss to Real Madrid in overtime. Yeah, they took a tough loss.
Fuck them.
What?
Fuck them. I hate them.
What? Wait, hold up. What do you have against Manchester City? Is it because it's a fabricated
team? The oil
team?
Money and all of that.
Is that?
And it's like the unlimited resources. And I look, the thing they
just
want
pick
the most,
and they pick and choose. Yeah. They nitpick their players, man.
And they are fantastic. And Pep Guardiola, I'm a big fan of him. But like...
Mahrez is he's special.
Mahrez has got Kevin De Bruyne. I think is phenomenal.
Even Bernardo Silva.
Bernardo Silva, but he's a prick. Yeah, yeah. But like, but Liverpool. I like how we play. I like our identity. Like we just bought Luis Diaz for like 37 million.
He's a Brazilian kid.
Colombian
kid,
and he's fucking phenomenal.
He's good.
He's real good.
He's not. He's a little skinny. And he's
yeah,
fat.
But
yeah,
he's
yeah,
like
yeah.
a little fighter.
Yeah. Well, he's fast.
Yeah. And
his
he's
speed,
like good on the ball.
Speed, yeah, yeah, yeah. His pace and everything.
And we, you know, like we the if it wasn't for Liverpool, Man City would be running away with everything. But at least we're up their arse.
I'd rather have you guys win than Man City.
I feel like people feel like that, but the reason I was happy today is because the one thing Man City don't care if they win the Premier League. What they want is the Champions League because they've never won.
Well,
a Champions
they got knocked
League.
Out today.
Exactly.
That must have been a such.
It hurts the salt. Ooh,
because I just went before you came. 30 minutes before you came, I saw the preview. I saw
yeah,
the recap.
Yeah, the highlights.
Oh, I felt bad for them because they were up.
Yeah,
they were
coasting like
for
90 minutes, right?
They lost in the last overtime. Like they. Rodrigo, that
yeah,
Rodrigo
yeah.
got 2 on him, and then I'm like, wait
and they
a
scored 2 goals in a minute, right?
Yeah,
all right, fuck them.
But the aggregate, it tied. The aggregate was tied up, so they went to double. They went
and
to
then
overtime.
They got a penalty.
Yeah,
and
they
Benzema.
They tripped Karim Benzema in the box, mm-hmm. and he scored the winning goal.
Fuck them.
That must be so.
And
hard.
Now we're gonna fuck Madrid.
What are you talking about?
In 2018. Right, we played them in the Champions League final, and Sergio Ramos dislocated Mo Salah's shoulder, and he was taken off in 30 minutes.
Remember that.
And then he also elbowed Karius, our keeper, and he had concussion, and they fucking won 3-1. We came back the next
year.
Well,
you guys are in the champion. I forgot. You're on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah,
we're gonna
fuck them. We want revenge.
Wait, hold up. So the final's gonna be Liverpool versus Real
Madrid. Yeah, 28th of May.
Oh, that's gonna be a barn
burner.
I'll
text you.
Oh my
it'll be,
God.
I think it'll be noon here.
So you guys could win it.
Yeah. We're up for the quadruple.
Explain to the viewers, they might not know football. Explain what this.
What the Champions League
is? Yeah, explain what the Champions League is real quick before, and then we'll do
every European country pretty much has their own domestic league. So the English league is called the Premier League, and the Spanish league is called La Liga, and
Bundesliga
for Germany, mm-hmm. and Ligue 1 for France. Mm-hmm. Basically, the Champions League is a tournament that runs during a regular season, but it's the elite team, so to speak. So
top
it's the
four
top four
in each division.
Not everyone gets a top four. English do and a few others, but I think it's three or four, depending on how popular that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works, so that's where you get Liverpool, Manchester United, Manchester City, mm-hmm. Chelsea, Barca, Madrid,
mm-hmm. Borussia Dortmund,
Munich,
and Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, PSG.
Yeah.
And they all are in this prestigious world tournament.
RB Leipzig is there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good. We've taken a couple of their players, I think.
Yeah. But that's a sleeper little
yeah,
little
problem.
Club. Yeah,
they're a problem.
Yeah.
Villarreal were a problem this year because they took out Munich.
I couldn't believe that.
And then they came for... Did you see our game yesterday?
Emery used to be our coach.
Yeah.
That Emery.
I
saw that game, and the joy in his face when they
did you
advanced.
Did you see his face yesterday when they were beating us 2-0 and then we came back and beat them
3-2? No, I didn't. Look at that again.
Yeah, so yesterday.
So it turned sad.
Yeah,
oh God,
first leg, we were winning 2-0.
You guys beat them.
Yeah, and then yesterday we played in at their away to Villarreal.
In Spain?
Yeah. And they scored 2 goals in the first half, and now it was equal. So we lost our thing.
The aggregate was equal.
Yeah.
But then you guys...
We came out second half, scored 3 goals. We fucked them. Oh. And then we're going to fuck Madrid.
Good for you guys.
Thanks.
Oh, good for you guys. All right, so tuning into the Champions League. You guys
May 28th.
Yeah, it's going to be a barn burner. That's going to be a great series, yeah. I'd rather, I want Liverpool over Man City. I'll say
thanks.
That. Yeah. I think you guys will do
appreciate
it.
Appreciate it. Thank
you have a great coach. Okay, so an hour has passed. Now is the time. You got
to
come back, man.
Part two, part three. We're neighbors.
Dude, and not only that, I appreciate it because you were here before you were on Bad Friends and the rest of them. You did the Stevie Weeby show first. Shout 100%. Out to my brother and Andrew. We love y'all. We love all y'all, but I love that.
And I have a favorite, though. More than Santino, Bobby,
go ahead.
Fancy. Rudy.
Shout out to Rudy.
She's a legend. We love her.
Shout out to Rudy.
Big time.
Now it's time to, can we promote your social media? And
oh, yeah.
And if you have a website or like future projects where they could check you out.
Sure. So social media is Twitter and Instagram, Roll Coley 13. And I also have a comedy podcast where we speak very highly of you. It's called Idiots and Abroad.
I love that you have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's supposed to be a travel pod. It's mm-hmm, not. No mm-hmm. one does any travel. We just talk shit.
You guys talk gaming too as well?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
are you on Warzone, dude?
I was.
Get on it, man.
Come back.
We could use another soldier.
Do you put PC or what would you play?
The Xbox Series X right now.
Okay.
That's like 2-3 months old. So
I can get it on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
We play in Halo, though. I'm a voice in Fortnite now.
Let's promote that. Like, what's?
I'm a Fortnite.
Okay, he's on Rahul's on Fortnite as well. You're killing the game.
Gears of War 5. That's me.
Yes.
Gears of War 5. I did. They just announced we're doing. I'm voicing in the Ghostbusters video game that comes out.
That's so cool because you're actually a gamer
and a fan of the stuff.
And your character's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Yeah, man.
Look, can we shout out your Instagram again?
Yeah, it's Rahul Coley 13.
Okay, dude, I appreciate you showing up, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
A fun episode. I thought that we covered a couple of different topics I wanted to. I didn't think we'd talk about the psychological stuff.
Oh, really?
I like that, yeah. Not a lot of people talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, true.
And I usually don't. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. If you want to help support the platform, go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. We also have another podcast called the Scissor Bros Podcast. Every episode drops Friday at 6 a.m. We're doing all-inclusive summer camp, so sign up at campraw.com, campraw.com, June 16th to the 19th. Go there, get your tickets today, join us on a 4-day excursion. All my music's at stevieweebybandcamp.com, stevieweebyshow.com for the website. If you want to send packages, send all your mail or packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Dude, it was an honor having you, brother.
Thank you for having me. I'm so
the best of luck
stoked
to you.
That we got to do this.
Oh, this is amazing. The best of luck to you. Shout out again to Mark Hamill for recognizing my homie right here.
shade of spade and spade. He made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal of mail. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female. Spread.